Actually,
okay, you got
another speaker thing, or shall I just...
Yeah. Okay, so we actually don't know who we are, but we are go by the name of Genesis Media Training Associates, GMTA, that is back home in India. We have our partners from Reach Beyond, and just as Russell said, this is my husband, my name is Dolly, his name is Christopher, that is Darren, and that is James, and we are just very excited as to what the Lord is leading us to. And just as we begin, we would like you to watch this video first.
There are many things we take for granted, like turning on a light, like to see, like to read God's word and experience His message of light, and hearing God's word through Christian media in your own language. But what if we lost all that? Ask yourself, what would life be like? Darkness is a reality for the 2 million Kuruk people in the remote mountains of central India. Here, there is no electricity. There are no broadcasts in the Kuruk language. In fact, many Kuruk speakers have never even seen a radio. And 98% of the people do not know Jesus Christ. This place truly is in great darkness, physically and spiritually. But the same God who said, "Let there be light," is now sending light to the Kuruk people. Light for homes, light for villages, light for souls. Through the radio broadcast to the Kuruk people, the message of eternal hope now offers illumination in the Kuruk language. To help them hear and experience this light, seeking to provide shortwave radios, simple solar chargers, and rechargeable LED lights to villages and homes in these remote places. Would you help us bring light into their darkness? You're listening on 15340 kilohertz.
Namaskar, Shrotao, Shortwave 19 meter band. और मैं डॉली उपस्थित हूँ आपके लिए कार्यक्रम आपका स्वास्थ्य लेके.
Through the broadcast facility of Reach Beyond Australia, the gospel is spreading across Asia, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, India, right across to China and Japan, broadcasting for over 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, in 30 languages. Since 2003, Genesis Media has been reaching out to India and South Asia through radio programs broadcast daily from Reach Beyond Australia in 16 Indian languages, including Hindi, which is the language spoken and understood by the majority of people in this region. Genesis Media also produces radio programs which air every week on India's national FM network. And special Christmas and Easter TV programs are produced for broadcast on Orthodox Hindu channels. We at Genesis Media believe that every man, woman, and child should have the opportunity to hear about the love of God in a language close to their heart, a language they can connect with. We partner with locals, pastors, individuals, and prayer groups who are ready and willing to reach their own people with the gospel and then disciple and help them grow to be like Jesus. Listen to feedback, requests for prayer, and amazing testimonies of God's grace and love encourage us to continue airing our regular radio programs as radio goes where people cannot. Join with us at Genesis Media. You too can be a part of bringing God's word of salvation and hope into the lives of literally millions. By praying and partnering with us, your contribution is just as vital as the production team and the program host. Even if you don't speak the heart language, it is as though you are speaking directly through that microphone, inviting thousands upon thousands into relationship with God's Son. A 15-minute broadcast in an Indian heart language costs $99 a day. Would you consider helping to sponsor one of our 16 language programs? Just $49 will provide a light and a radio for one extended family. As we pray and partner together, we can bring honor, hope, and love into lost lives. Join us in a battle for hearts. Help Genesis Media reach India.
Oh, we have 25 minutes. And please can we... Please can we go on to the PowerPoint? And very quickly, we will just run through a few statistics about India. We have 1.2 billion people. And we have around 22 official languages, 844 dialects. Most of the major religions are represented in India. So we have Hinduism, which is nearly 90% of the people. Then we have Islam. And Islam, so the second largest Muslim country is India. So those are the Muslim friends. Then we have Christianity, which is around 12% now, although the census says something else. We have Buddhism, Sikhism, and Jainism. And then we have thousands and thousands of gods and goddesses. Because in India, they say that for every 100 kilometers or so, the language changes, the culture changes, food changes, and people change. Almost 40% of Indians are very young. 70% of the people live in villages. And our villages are compared to New Zealand are a little different. So we can have, say 5,000 people in a village going up to around, say 20,000. So that is what a village is supposed to be. 70% of the people live in villages and very often they travel to towns and cities to get jobs, to get education, and things are changing in India. Well, what do we do? As GMTA, we believe that when Jesus was on this earth, he spoke to the people, but he also reached out and touched them. So we have the voice and we have hands. The department, or we say the hand that does voice, we do shortwave broadcasting. We are broadcasting in 16 Indian languages at the moment. We are also doing programs on the national channel on FM, where we broadcast 30 minutes a week, where we buy the time. Well, in India, we have a democracy, and our constitution says that we can practice and promote any religion that any individual wants, exactly the same as in New Zealand. But in India, we also have 7 states where we have the anti-conversion laws. So that means that a person, if you are found talking about Christianity to another person, or if a person wants to change his religion, they can be taken to court. A person, if he wants to change his religion from being a Hindu or a Muslim to becoming a Christian or being a follower of Christ, well, first, he has to get the permission of his parents, of his community, of the local police station, and then he has to go to the local judge and write a paper and say why he wants to change his religion from being a Hindu or a Jain or a Sikh or a Muslim to becoming a Christian. We have 7 of those states in India. Well, the government says that we can broadcast and promote any religion. In actual fact, being a Christian and saying that you are a Christian and trying to buy time on the national network, on radio or TV is very hard. Well, God has opened doors for us to be registered in India as a charitable organization where we are called a training association. Well, people, God has put people in the right place for the right time, we say. Some of our consultants, they told us, well, so obviously when we were making this organization, Christopher and I, which God has provided for us. They said, you can be registered as a training association. And what do we do for follow-up? Because when people listen to the radio programs and when they write in, as follow-up, we are sending out tracts, we are sending out gospels, we are sending out New Testaments for follow-up. So we said, what do we do about that? They said, well, you're doing education. So we are registered as an organization who is doing distance education. What is the distance? The distance is between Australia and India. Because we produce all the programs which are gospel-based, value-based, and for the community from India, they are produced by people who are local pastors, who are local youth leaders, and who are involved in their communities on the ground. What do? We train them to make radio programs which are contextualized so that they are not directly preaching the gospel, but the values are gospel-based. Then we also do programs which are only for women, programs which are only for children, and programs which teach the Bible. Well, some of the languages that we are broadcasting in are up on the screen, and they go as Hindi, Chhattisgarhi, Urdu, Bhojpuri, Punjabi, Nepali, Mar Mitai, Bangla, Kuduk, Marathi, Marwari, Gujarati, Telugu, Tamil, and Malayalam. Well, I was not talking in Hindi. I was just taking the names of the various languages that programs are produced in. How do we actually produce these language programs? Well, as I just said, we are partnering with churches. We are partnering with local youth groups. And what we ask of them is to work in their own community, to be the face and the voice and the hands of Jesus in their own communities. Because as time goes by, that is, we think that is what is more effective. We are doing Bible teaching programs. And what happens when the Bible is taught over the air? Well, I will just tell you a story. So a few years back, there was this community in a very well-known place, which is called Agra. Maybe you've heard of the Taj. And there is this community where the women were not treated very well. The men were alcoholics, and they would come home and beat up their wives and children and do all the things that are associated with it. And we had a small outreach group there. They were working with these women, and they were saying, okay, what do we do about this? These women have come to Christ. They want to stand on their feet, but this is what is happening. So there was this girl who wanted to do something, and she started coming to the sewing classes that were being held at the church. Our pastor's wife, she said, okay, I can sew and maybe I can help her. And very soon, this girl, when she started coming to this church, she started to bring her friends along. We were listening to the story of Reset yesterday. Well, it is quite like that. The girls started to come and we started a small class for them. The first 10 girls learned. This was 6 years back. And now this girl, where she is holding the yellow dress in her hands, recently we found out that she had become a trainer. Then she got married. And now she set up a training center of little women, little children, and women who are in another community. She is also talking to them about Jesus Christ, whom she found when she was just doing this course. Another story that I would like to talk about. There was this young man quite a few years ago, and he lived in a village with his parents, and he became very ill. The parents did all that they could for him. They took him to the local doctors. They took him everywhere. They were not very rich. And one day the doctor said, we can do nothing more. Just take him back. They took him back and left him in a room. All along the walls of the room, there were millions of all those gods and goddesses just plastered there. The parents left him in the room and walked out. They closed the door. That night, this little boy, he was around 7 or 8 then, he wept and he said, if there is a God amongst you, show yourself to me and I will serve you all my life. This little boy went to sleep. He went to sleep Or was he in a coma? No one knows. Because that night, he heard a voice, and that voice said, I am the God who heals you. Next morning, the parents thought that the boy was dead. There was a little bit of voice inside the room. They opened the door, and they saw that this boy was creeping out of his bed, and he creeped out. Slowly, this boy began to heal. Well, the parents started to take care of him again because this was the only son they had. Time went on. He grew up and that thing kind of went away from his head. But then he went to school. And there, while he was in school, in high school, he saw a group of friends, a group of boys who were listening to the radio. And he got very interested. When he got interested in that, he went and asked them, what are you people listening to? And they said, well, their elder brothers and our uncles, they go to Delhi and they do this radio program in our language. So this is what we are listening to. He got interested and he heard the gospel. And one day he heard the group in the radio set saying, well, the pastor was talking about another person who was healed. And those words came back to him. I am the God who heals you. And he started to talk to these people. And slowly he said, well, I want to go and find out where this program is coming from. He went through college. He went through various things in life. And then he came to our radio station in Delhi, from where our trainers and our pastors started to speak to him. He accepted Christ. He went through the Bible college and he went back to his village. Well, what happened from there? He started, well, you would say, well, maybe he started making radio programs. Yes, he started making radio programs. And the radio programs were on air. But there were no radio sets. There was no electricity in the village. So what was to be done? One day he came back to us and he asked Christopher.
He asked me to come to his village. And I said, okay, fine. And I went to his village and we were talking to him. And then he said, pick up your bag, let's go. And in a motorcycle, we traveled inside the forest. About 1 hour, 40 minutes. My bag was so heavy and I had a real pain in my shoulder. And we landed down there and then he said, come on, let's have tea. And we were having tea and about 5:30 we had tea and it was getting dark. Everyone in the village went back to their house and locked the doors. And I was shocked. Then I went into that room. I saw there was no electricity, no light. They were burning a log of wood and everyone sitting there. It was really cold. So then I came out with my radio and a light. I switched on my radio and kept the light there. And I saw people peeping through the windows. And that night, one of the languages which they speak was on radio. So they all came out to see who's speaking in our language. Then they saw the radio. And I came back home and I told Ollie, I'm not feeling okay. She asked, what happened? I went to this village. The pastor took me to this village. And we were sitting there and having tea and everyone went home and there was no lights, no radios. How do we get the gospel to them? I'm a technical guy. I fiddle with small electronic things. I'm trained as a audio engineer. So I thought, why can't I do something for them? So I came up with a small idea of cell phones. A cell phone battery needs how long to charge? 20 minutes, 30 minutes maximum. How long does a cell phone work? It works the whole day almost. Why can't we have a light which needs 20 minutes charge? And why can't it work for 5 hours? Usually people need light for those 5 hours in the evening. Why can't we develop something like that? So this is what was our first designs, what we did, where we used cell phone batteries to light these LED lights. And the first batteries what we used 20 minutes to charge, and they used to give 4 hours of light. And the recent ones, some of them are on the table, you need 20 minutes charge and it gives 12 hours. Bright light. So we went to these villages, started distributing lights and radios, and people started coming from different parts of that particular state. It's a tribal state. And most of them live in mountains inside forest. And they don't have enough food, they don't have electricity, no radio, no missionary goes there. The only way to reach the gospel, take the gospel to them, is through radio. So what we did is, in the past 2 years, we lighted up 85 villages, putting up solar panels. And everyone asks, why are you putting solar panels? What are you getting? So we said, we take the gospel to them. When you take the gospel to them, they are just listening. How do they understand what they are listening? Who's mentoring them? What is the follow-up? Things like that. So we have a very tricky situation here. So what we did is, we didn't just want to give the radio and the light to them. We started putting one solar panel for 10 houses. So what happens is, the solar panel goes either in the pastor's house or a church elder's house. So the 10 houses who receives the radio, they come to their house to charge them. When they come to charge them, they start talking to the pastor about what they listen on radio. And then it gives an opportunity to the pastor or the pastor's family to talk to them about what Jesus is, what they listen, make them understand that. So everyday conversation with pastor and the church elders develop them in knowing more about Christ and giving them more and more. And once they become, and then they start getting them to the church, and then we hand them to the local churches, which are really far away. If you look at this place, the pastor, what Dolly said, about 70 kilometers around that place, there's no church. His was the first church we built there.
And so the story goes on. But what happened? People started to listen to the gospel in their own language. And believe you me, very soon, they would just put the radio set in their room, wherever they were meeting. Maybe 4 people, 5 people, 10 people, 20 people. And they would just listen to the radio program. That became their church. That became their teacher. And so it grows from there. And today the pastor that we are talking about, that little boy, he has 80 churches in his area. In January, we had 120 baptisms. Well, just as Bruce said, some of this information is very much under the radar. We do not talk about it, but here we believe that we can talk about it, but we do not promote it. One of the things that is happening today is that is the husband and wife today. They are heading that part of the work in one of the tribal areas in India, one of the languages. We have 15 more languages that we are working on. How does it happen? Darren will let you know in just a few minutes. But how is it connected to New Zealand? If you want to know more about it, well, on our way here, I will just tell you something. We set up a radio station in New Plymouth. Some of you people know the person there, Colin Sampson, and he was so excited. Many churches are coming alongside where they want to reach the Indian community. Every fourth person in India, in New Zealand, is an Indian today. How do we reach these people? Well, that is what this kind of crazy group is talking about. I am still a student. Christopher is the technical person. We have one of our best trainers, and we will talk more about it in the next session. But how do these 16 languages continue, Darren?
Oh, 10 minutes, not long. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you a little bit about how I got to know Dolly and Chris. I went to East West College with them last year. I did a year there doing certificate, and we were pretty much I don't know, three peas in a pod, and we got together and we said, how can we make a difference with the Indigenous people, with the Indian community here in New Zealand? So from lots of discussions and lots of mentoring and lots of people telling us, so we did a little bit of research of how many there are here. About 120,000 Hindi speaking in New Zealand. Predominantly north of Taupo. But they are moving down slowly. So we thought, how can we get to that community and teach them about what the gospel's all about? They're listening to it on radio in India. Now, most of the people coming here from India are young, mobile, and they don't stay very long. They get a student visa usually, and then all of a sudden they get a two-year fixed visa after that, and then they're gone. So we thought, how can we, working with Carl and a few people in Auckland at the Bible Chapel, Mount Eden Bible Chapel, how can we get to these people before they have to go back home? How do we take the gospel from New Zealand and transport it back to India? And so what we came up with was two-prong attack. So the first prong attack is our community radio stations that we're putting up. It's actually divulged now into evolved to actually Chinese communities too. And it's evolved to Muslim communities too. So we just wanted to set up indie radio stations, short, low frequency FM radio stations, have a 4 or 5 kilometer radius, mainly around churches, around the mosque. So we can really hit them in their temples and their mosques. And then we developed from there, and we thought, that's something that we can do now. As quickly as we can do it, we can set it up within 2-3 hours, up and running, and it's no cost for the frequency for running it. In New Zealand, we have a pretty lax radio system which allows you to have that frequency. And there's a cost in the computers and the radios and the aerials, and it's very minimal. Then we had, how are we going to affect Indian radio in New Zealand? And that's a big project for us, because we're having to have a look at buying radio time. And we've had discussions with the radio stations in Auckland, Radio Tirana, Radio Hum, and that's hard, because they are Hindi radio stations and they're Hindu religion, but we are getting traction slowly and surely, because as you would know, that some of those people working at the radio stations are now becoming Christians. And they're coming along and they're saying, okay, what can we do to put... So what we focus on, like the FM program in India, it's very much not a gospel-based, it's very much a value-based and a moral-based. So it's that first point of contact that we need for them to start to have a think about something different other than their faith that they have then to come to Christianity. So this is this little project from the little 3, 4, 5 of us that have been sitting there together, and this is where... We have so many partners and so many churches have come on board that have gone to little radio stations that support language in India. And we're so grateful and we're so blessed that we get to be a part of a community that actually wants to get out there and share the gospel. And yeah, we talk about it all the time. We talk about how if we just do one thing, one step, God will take us the extra step and the extra mile. And we just have to we just have to do it. I mean, we know a lot of people have good intentions. They pray, but then they don't actually do the physical walking forward. We don't have that problem. We just walk forward 100 mile an hour and everyone else catches up. So this is what we're here today. We shared in Auckland. We're sharing here today how important it is to get to people the gospel into people's heart language. I mean, I'm Samoan. I'm a Samoan chief. I'm a Samoan Matai. And I speak Samoan. I was brought up in Samoa. I don't look it, but I am. And when I hear Samoan being sung in a church and a hymn and preaching, it speaks to my heart. You know, it speaks to who I am. And so when we're talking about Indian community, when they hear their language and hear the gospel in their language, it transforms the heart. You know, it's hard. Like we at East West College, we had a lot of students where English was a second language and they struggled to keep up. So if they're struggling in their teaching, how they're struggling when they're trying to listen to sermons and they're trying to understand what's being taught and in Bible classes, and they're struggling. As soon as they put it and speak in Korean, like a lot of them are East West or Korean, they're very quick. Chinese, they know what's going on, and it becomes, you see their faces transform. Instead of struggling to understand the gospel, they're actually hearing the gospel and understanding the gospel. So that's why radio, a lot of people, Uncle Colin down in New Plymouth, he said to me something. We were driving around checking the frequency, you know, like you do, how far it goes over this hill, under this hill. And we were like, and he said to me, the one thing that if you have Christian TV, you have to sit down and watch it. If you have Christian radio, you can go to work, do your work, keep working and doing, it goes with you. And that's what a lot of people think, that the whole idea is get on the internet. But you've got to sit down and watch a screen. Your ears, you can do things and still hear. That's why I think God talks about hearing the gospel, hearing the word of God. No, it's like it's got to go in here. And you know, so when I was thinking about it, I'm thinking this is a perfect medium for both, for all Kiwis. With a busy lifestyle, you hear it in the car, you hear it on a radio when you're at work, you're sitting there, you can have it on your own computer, and you can go about your work and do your thing, and you can listen to what we... So that's why we are so passionate about what we're doing. We're 100% running forward as fast as we can. Dolly and Chris are here on student visas, so the possibility of them going back next year is pretty big, but we're working on that. So we're trying to do as many community radio stations. We're trying to get the community, the radio, the gospel onto the mainstream radios. And we're also trying to fund India, which is the backbone of everything that we do. I mean, Dolly and Chris have been doing it for a long time. They've set up a great machine that is India. The stuff comes out already produced. The communities have taken ownership. And this is something that we've found with Pacifica. If Pacifica own it, it works. If it's someone coming in and doing it for them, that doesn't last very long. They're gone now, so we stop. And that's what it's all about empowering the people that are there to speak to their own people about the gospel. And I think that's the next wave of getting missionaries, is actually missionarying to your own people. You know, so I mean, that's what we're doing here. And so hopefully we are wanting to bring people from India to come here and train and help those churches that are struggling to get out into the Indian community. We're trying to empower. There's a couple of Indian churches in Auckland that are really keen to help out all around New Zealand, and they're really keen to get the radio message pumping, the gospel going, and putting it in a format that's palatable for the Hindus and the Sikhs and our great thing by default, because Urdu is one of the languages that's spoken in India, obviously the second biggest. So as a Muslim community, in Hamilton, there's a Muslim station, an Urdu speaking station going up. It's going pretty much in the center of Hamilton, so it'll get all of Hamilton, and because there's a large Muslim community. So how that community approaches their own community, that's their big thing that they need to learn. They need to do it. And it's such a low cost. I mean, the frequency we don't have to pay for. It's great, wonderful, and it gets out there and they do it. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, and we're taking the time to go around the country and do this. And we thank the Brethren Churches, and we thank Russell for everything that they've provided for us and given us the opportunity to come and speak to you today. We're having an afternoon session where we're really going to nitty gritty down into, if you want a radio station, if you want to reach the community, like if there's an Indian community, Chinese community here around here that you really want to get into, this is where we start. We have a Chinese church in Hamilton, and they are really keen to get out there into these Chinese communities and provide content and get going into these communities. And yeah, I think my time's up, I think. Okay, so our afternoon session, we'll I think we're in the room upstairs, so we just come along, and we've actually got the radio station running now. It's just an aerial, a computer, and a transmitter. So that's what we do.
So, just as Russell walks up. So in the afternoon session, we are talking about how you can set up a radio station, how you can do content, how you can train your people. We have all that on board. So if you have any questions, any kind, just come on board.
Fantastic. I it's pretty neat when you realize that you're being broadcast. I was preaching in West Papua in the church plant that Life Church Manurewa have got involved in, and then they said to me, you realize that was broadcast just as you preached. And of course it was being translated as well, so people got to hear what I was saying. We're going to have a collection after this session, this next session, so I don't know, Jeff, if how that will happen, but maybe just if you're ready for that, it'd be good if there's a bit of a koha for today. That'll happen after Peter's done his session.